Welcome to this episode of PageCast at Kingsmead, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. I am Mariam Adams, and I have the pleasure of being joined at our studio by Farai Mutsungwa. Some would say we've left the best for last. I am some. Welcome, Farai.
Thank you, Mariam.
Let me quickly introduce you properly. So Farai is a freelance writer. His short fiction has been published widely, and his long-form articles and reporting have been featured widely as well in The Mail and Guardian, the Johannesburg Review of Books, Africa is a Country, and This is Africa. He lives in Harare and South Africa, and Farai is at this year's festival chatting about his latest book, Avenues by Train. Welcome.
Thank you again.
I'm going to start by putting you on the spot and asking you, what was the last book you read? And what will you be reading next?
Easy one. I'm actually reading, finishing off, Butterfly Burning by Yvonne Vera.
What is it about?
The Zimbabwean writer, late Zimbabwean writer. She wrote in the 80s, but this book is set in Bulawayo, the city, second largest city in Zimbabwe, set in the 1940s. And so Yvonne Vera writes this very dense poetic prose, very short book, about 120 pages. And she writes about two lovers just navigating two African, Ndebele, Bulawayo-based lovers living in Makoba Township. And she just takes us through the 1940s, what it was like, their experiences. And next, I'm just about finished. I think I've got 10 pages left. Next, I want to read another book that's been on my shelf for years, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, James Joyce. I've been meaning to read it. I got it, I think, 9 years ago. Finally getting around to it now.
A classic. Wow. Well, that sounds like an interesting book that you're reading, and I hope those last 10 pages do not disappoint. What has the Kingsmead Festival been like for you today? Tell me, what does it mean to you, and how does it feel to be in the literary community in South Africa?
Firstly, yeah, I think I should just express my gratitude. Avenues by Train is not set in South Africa. It's a very Zimbabwean book, very Harare, and then from Harare going towards Mozambique, not even towards South Africa, because we're very connected countries, but this book deliberately goes opposite, or kind of opposite direction. So I'm very grateful to, obviously, Jonathan Ball, and even the other writers and other festivals in South Africa that have welcomed the book and managed to make the connections between my work with other themes, not even necessarily geographic, just connecting the themes in my book. And Kingsmead is beautiful, the place. I love the festival. It's very organized, very efficient. I love my panel, green room, other writers, Jonathan Ball facilitators, no blank. But yeah, it's been really great. I'm enjoying myself.
Amazing. And you've touched on some of the themes that you explore in Avenues by Train. And I know you've woven together a lot of nuanced kind of ideas and topics in this book. There's the Harare element, but there's also a lot of music and vivid imagery. Can you talk more about that?
The music, yeah, I think I like to think of myself as someone who writes because I can't sing. Someone who's a writer because they have not got around to being a musician. So I try to almost imbue a lot of musicality in the work, but specifically Mbira music with its structure, those cyclical rhythms. And there's another, I don't know if it's a theme, but I think structural element, but also thematic, to do with how Mbira music is transposed onto guitars, drums, you know, Western instruments, which is what Thomas Mofumo does. There's a lot of Thomas Mofumo in this book, and that element of taking what is essential to the grouping of people, referred to as the Shona people, that musicality, which is the keyboard of the ancestral epistemological systems, and modernizing it, so to speak, but us Africans modernizing our own practices, cultural practices. So I like that element, and I try and almost tap into that and put some of that musicality into the book. And also the themes I'm talking about, those spiritual, ancestral systems, trying to show that they're modern, but not in an anthropological way where you're just taking what we do from a distance and then putting it into academic texts, but to actually show that it's a part of modern life. Yeah.
Would you say that there are a few parallels, especially when it comes to spirituality, ancestry, within the cultures between South Africa and Zimbabwe?
Totally. And one of the things I admire about South African society, I guess, and yeah, without going too deep into why, but I like how each of the ethnic groupings have maintained their cultural practices, belief systems, almost intact. I don't know how much they've retained, but I like the expression of them and how they're very parallel with their modern lives. In Zimbabwe, because of the differences, just the nuance in how we were colonized, how the colonial administration was set up, there was almost a separation. You had to make a choice. Do you stick to your cultural beliefs and then you get left behind out of the capitalist system, out of the town's modernization thing, you stay rural, or you abandon that and go with. So we had to make a choice. We didn't drop it, but we had to almost hide it and do it covertly. And I admire South Africans for being able, having the space to express it.
It's so fascinating what you speak of now. To move on from avenues by train, tell me, what are you working on next?
And by working on,
I'm still thinking.
Yeah. So I've been, like for months now, I've been researching, reading, watching, because there's a lot of documentaries, stuff I've been reading, academic papers, archaeological papers, historical papers to do with the eastern side of Zimbabwe. There's this great Zimbabwe ruins now, which is this evidence. It's not really evidence. It's the structures are still there of this great city, this great empire that existed, that got suddenly evacuated by 1500. So in the 1400 and something happened. We actually don't know what. And this empire was so great. There was trade with the coast, Mozambican coast, all the way up to north of Africa, Southeast Asia, India, Persia, Arab region, even as far as China. So they found archaeological evidence of trade going as far as China. However, when the colonial column came in, evidence of that civilization did not align with their belief that we were uncivilized and they had to import civilization. So they set out to say this was not built by us. So scholarship around that has been centered on debunking that structure was built by aliens or whatever that Africans built it. But I'm more interested in what happened. We know Africans built it. I'm going to take that as granted. What happened in the 1400s that we led to this almost mass extinction of this empire? So I've been reading that, and there's a lot of a crop of Zimbabwean historians who are re-looking at the archaeological data, trying to use new techniques to find out what happened there. So I want to set a fictional, almost epic, poetic type empire thing to do with that empire, the trade with the Eastern along the coast, with the Islam sultans and everything, and what then happened. Hint for slavery. But yeah.
Well, you leave a lot of food for thought, and I can't wait to see this on our radar at some point in the near future. Thank you so much, Farai. It has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you today. Farai's book, Avenues by Train, is available in all good bookstores and online. So go out and get your copy now. Thanks so much.
Thank you.